Sure, Falk.
Hey, Jose. First, thank you everyone for coming. It's always a big, nice experience to meet new Talmidim. You know, feel free during the shiur to speak up. You know, I'm not, those that are on my shiur regularly know that I'm not a believer in lectures. You know, I like everyone to, I like to hear what you have to say. I like to, you know, and if, you know, if at the end you want to introduce yourself, I like to meet people, you know, it's not a lecture series. So please feel free to always speak up and let me know what you want to say. And I always thank Rabbi Orlian for inviting me to give the shiur. And in honor of Rabbi Orlian, I always try to add something, because, you know, the mezuzah we do every year, so to have things that that we've never said before. So that should aim based medrash below Kiddush. So that's in honor of Rabbi Orlian. Aim based medrash below Kiddush, that they should say something. So in the course of the whole year, I always think up of a shaila I got in Hilchas Mezuzah that was a new shaila that I hadn't gotten before, and to say over or something. So Rabbi Orlian could also have a aid based medrash below Kiddush. And of course, try to say it over differently. You know, obviously the halachas are the halachas, but there's different ways of saying it over. So I don't get bored, and he doesn't get bored. And then for you, you'll only gain from that. Okay. Hilchas Mezuzah. One pasuk, saftim al mezuzos beisecha uvisharecha. So if we can understand what this pasuk means, then we're good. So let me start this way. I'll start in a different way than I normally start, and maybe say some interesting chidushim, from not necessarily my own chidushim, but a different chidushim on this inyanim that others have said. There is a gemara in Psachim, on Daf Dalet, where it talks about bedikas chametz. Right? Who has to do the, if you have a rental, who does the bedikas chametz? The maskir or the socher? Right? The person who rented it out, or the person who's renting it, who's living there? Right? And Dabdalit. And so the Gemara says, mezuzah? No? Chovas hadar. Mezuzah is the obligation of what? The person who's living there. Chovas hadar. Because that's what, and the Rashi, the famous Rashi, says that, that what? That mezuzah is a shmira, a dal talit. In other words, you don't say that by necessarily by every mitzvah. That's why my father, Shlita, always liked to say over from the Lubavitcher Rebbe that he was very into when something would happen to check the mezuzahs, because there's a shmira. You know, some people are into checking the ksuba if the you know, something's not going well with the marriage, check the ksuba. Okay, but somebody was telling me, a certain rav was telling me that a certain family, it was a couple of several years that they didn't have any children. So they decided they're going to take their ksuba to a mekubal. And maybe the mekubal will see something problematic with the ksuba, and then they'll fix the ksuba, and everything will go great. So the rav, who the ksuba was brought to, told me, he's brought the ksuba, they brought it to the mekubal, and the mekubal said, I got it. The problem with the name. What was the name? It was whatever her name was, the name was there. And then, you know, it says like we have accolades, like Shlita, and, you know, Sheyichye. So for a girl, Tichye. You know, like Sheyichye, like Shlita. Now, in certain Sephardic communities, Tichye is a name. So the Bekubo said, yeah, the problem here is that you have
You wrote, her name is Pechia. They didn't mean to write it as a name. They meant to write it as an accolade, a bracha, like Shlita. You know, Shlita's not your name. But so Pechia's a name. So you wrote Pechia in the Ksuma. So they came to the Rav and said, you know, this is what the Mekubal said. So, you know, what should we do? So the Rav said, you know, next week I'm going to Eretz Yisrael. I'm going to go visit Rav Yashiv and see what he says. So they went to Rav Yashiv. There was the Rav here in America. Went to Eretz Yisrael. He told them the whole story. He told Rav Yashiv the whole story. And I said, you know, sometimes the Mekubalim are right. So they rewrote the Ksuba without Tichya. And like 9 months later, they had a healthy child, and that was the story. This Rav told me this after this person's chuppah. So he says, "Is that person there?" And he told me this whole story. Okay. So certain things, I don't know. So ksubas, I don't know ksubas and shmirah, but mezuzah and shmirah, that's in Rashi there, because why is it chomus adar? Because the person who's living there, he needs what? The protection. So you want to have a good mezuzah. So you should make sure you get a good mezuzah. Mi'ikar ha-din, you know, it's interesting. Mi'ikar ha-din, it's brought down in halacha that you check the mezuzahs twice every 7 years, right? Which is a lot, because twice in 7 years it comes by, and it's not the easiest thing to take down all the mezuzahs. So Rav Shachter said over from Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, that he held Bizman Hazer, that we're indoors, that we have temperature control. So you don't need to check mezuzahs. Maybe outside mezuzahs. Now, obviously, if you didn't get a good mezuzah in your first place, some people, the mezuzah was never good from the get-go. So in other words, so then you got to check your mezuzahs because maybe, but not... In other words, there are two reasons to check a mezuzah. One reason to check the mezuzah because maybe you... But if you know you got it from a reliable place, so then it's only a question if something happened subsequently to the mezuzah or something like that. So that's what Rav Shlomo Zalman, he felt that the idea of checking mezuzahs because of the, you know, if something happened to it or just on the temperature, the heat, the cold caused a problem... He thought that would apply Bizman Hazer, that we have temperature control. So that's except for the outdoor mezuzah. So that's a big kula. I mean, it makes a lot. It's very mistaber and Rav Shlomo Zalman Adam Gadol. So you shall be lismuch. Rav Shlomo Zalman said something. You know, Baruch Hashem, I used to daven with Rav Shlomo Zalman in the Shari Chesed. Every night when I went once in Eretz Yisrael with my father, and we had every night we went with Rav Shlomo Zalman. Big schuss. So let me tell you something now. This vort I saw Sukkot time, and it has to do with mezuzah. Because we said mezuzah is chol v'sadar. It's for living. And that's the protection when you're living. That's why, Rabbi Osei, most of the... You know, I remember when they built the Gluck building. Remember? They had a whole a thing. They're building the Gluck building. They're putting up the mezuzah for guys and Joel. And a whole popping circumstance outside here. They're building the building. So what bracha do you make on the Gluck building? What bracha should you make on the Gluck building? So you put up a mezuzah. But Lamaisa, he can't make a bracha on the Priyas and mezuzah. Because why? Like Rabbi always points out, no one lives here. No one lives in this building. So it's not really a makam dira. Even though we're here and we have shiurim and you have things and this, you know, there's a lot of traffic going on here. But no one really lives here. That's what Rav Avadi Shlita holds, that the Ikar Adin in the yeshiva, only the dormitories really need a mezuzah. Because again, Chovas Hadar, you don't live here, you live in the dormitory, that's where you live. So that requires a mezuzah. It happens to be in the world we live in today, so people put mezuzahs everywhere. Like you have a chassid hall, they put up a mezuzah. Because, right or wrong, that's what they do. Any Jewish institution has a mezuzah, or else people are just not going to be able to deal with you. If you, it's like Rabbi Willig had this phrase, he didn't say it in this context. He said certain things are a coolish NFC where you call them blah, blah, blah. Certain things that people just can't, it's a coolish NFC where you call them blah, blah, blah. So if they're going to say, like, take, don't have any mezuzahs, and you'll save a lot of money to the institution. But certain things, so that's why they didn't put a mezuzah with a bracha on the block. Because, I think if I'm not mistaken, I remember they made Hatova Meitiv. And you usually make a tova meitiv when you get something that you benefit and others benefit. Yeah, so I think they made a tova meitiv when they did the thing. They're putting up the mezuzah on the front door. They were inaugurating the whole building. And I think it was the president or whoever made a tova meitiv. Haley?
How do you translate
Kula, usually the phrase is, it's a chumrah shein atzibri chol mamon. Something so chomer that people can't deal with it. But his phrase was, sometimes it's a kula, a leniency, that people just can't deal with this leniency. Because they're so used to, it's a pun, it's a joke. So a kula, she'en hatzibri cholim lama. So if we would not put up mezuzahs in all the chasana halls and all those things, the oilam, just can't... deal with that, so we put it up, make everyone happy, and Shalom al Yisrael. Now, what's your name? Tell me your name.
Ezra. About being a shmira, no one thinks that even if you don't live there full time, you still want a shmira.
What do you mean you don't live there full time?
I mean, if people go into a building every day, you can see them. Shmira would be helpful, just
because
they don't live there.
So they go to where they live?
They weren't in the house of Shabbat also, but it's all even just having to visit Shmira on whatever's going on in the building.
Well, right. So what, I'm just trying to understand what you're asking.
Why would it not also be Shmira just because you don't live there, like you don't sleep there at night, but if you're in the building all day long,
you could use the Shmira. Right. So what you're asking is, we need a shmira right now. Okay, but nonetheless, in other words, Chazal, the Torah only required it for people who are living there. You need and if I'm walking in the street, I also need a shmira. But the mitzvah of mezuzah, they didn't make a mitzvah that I should wear a mezuzah around my neck and have a mezuzah because I need shmira when I walk in the street also, right? So obviously, you're right. I need Shmira 24/7, wherever I am, I need Shmira. But Lamaisa, the Shmira that the Torah was Mechayev, is the Shmira of Dira. And that's the Lashon of Chovas Hadar.
Let's hold the questions, but let's dive into the Sugya and I'll take questions a little
bit. Yeah, okay. But keep the questions going because it juices things up. maybe not the second, but, and then I get to know who you guys are. Which Teichman from where?
Muncie.
Elliot Teichman.
Yeah.
That's your
brother.
Okay, good. That they had a baby.
Yeah.
Yeah, Baruch Hashem.
And everyone sign the sign sheet? It's on the left side.
Okay, good. Okay. So now you mentioned leaving. There's a truva of Rabbi Kiva Eger. Again, this is I usually don't say this over, but I want to make it interesting. Rabbi Kiva Eger says an unbelievable thing. And the truva is Rabbi Kiva Eger. He says something which is mind-boggling, and he thinks it's pashut, and it's pashut that no one ever does this. But pashut to one person, he says like this. What's the din? When do you have to make another bracha on something? Like when you take off your towels, right? And you go to the bathroom, right? Then you come back, you put it on again. Do you have to make another bracha? So what's the rule? Because I've been pointed out from the Magen Mishnah and Hilchos Sukkah, the rule is one word, miyad. Whenever you're putting something on miyad, so then the halakha is that you don't need another bracha. Miyad. Okay? But if it's, so therefore, when you go to the bathroom, that's called miyad. If you go to the bathroom, our meaning is that we don't wear palace gauze in the bathroom. Like Rav Shechter mentioned, because it's something that's miyuchad for tefillah, we don't, even though it doesn't really understand it 100%, because we wear palace cotton when we go to the bathroom, right? But certain things that are, it's not considered kovedik to go into the bathroom with you, even though it's really not kodesh, it's really should be allowed to. But the mice is that, so a person goes to the bathroom in the middle of the davening, he puts it down, he comes back, he puts it on. So that's called miyad, doesn't make another bracha. But if it wouldn't be miyad, in other words, he's taking it off and he has to do something and it's going to take him an hour, 2 hours, something, then if he put it back on, he would make another bracha. So that's the cloth. So comes Rabbi Akiva Eiger. And he says an unbelievable thing. He says, understand, when you leave your house in the morning, you go to work, you're out, 5, 6, 10 hours, and then you come back. So why shouldn't you have to make another bracha on what? On the what? On the mezuzah. Rabbi Akiva Eiger says this. And he says, you know what? I think you should. That's what he says. Big zol, I really should. Now, no one in his... I've met people from all stripes of life and all different... There's no one, I'm convinced, there's no one on the planet that ever made such a... I wonder if Rabbi Akiva Eiger really ever did it. I was just saying he thinks in theory you should do it. I can't... But he thinks it's poshut. That, because what? The mezuzah is what? Homos Hadar. So now I left. What do you think you should make? Another bracha. What do you think of that? So why don't we? Why don't we? So the pasuk shot is the pasuk shot, is that when you leave, even if you're leaving, to forget the 5 hours that you do in the day, you go Thanksgiving weekend, you're going away for 3 days to whoever. So you're going to be away for, you know, you're going to come back home, you're going to make another bracha in your mezuzah. So what's the word? The word is that you're considered, this is your makom dira, even when you're not there. But when you decide that you're leaving, and you're not coming back, so this is not my makom dira anymore. But I live, you know, in 475 West 186th Street, 24/7. Unless you decide to move to the place in the 5 pounds, something like that. And you're no longer 475 West 186th Street. But Kol Zman that you're still living there, so that's your makom dira, even when you're not there. Once you decide, that's it, I'm going someplace else, then it's not your makom dira anymore. So therefore, it's not like, so therefore even though you're not there anymore, you're not there for these 3 days or these 2 weeks, or this, you can still... You're not going to make another bracha when you come back, etc. So let me tell you more. I saw this Kosher Glover recently, and he says, Kosher Glover, you know, there's a machloikas by Sukkah. When do we make a bracha on the Sukkah? So Rabbeinu Tam Shita is only when you're eating in the Sukkah. And the Vilna Gaon follows the opinion of the Rambam, that every time you go into the sukkah, you have to make a bracha. Even if what? Even if you're not... Even if what? If you're not eating. Every time you go in, provided that you left. In other words, when you're helping your mother or your wife come take the food out of the house and bring it in. So that's... you don't make a bracha, because that's miyad. That's the Magen Mishnah Yisod. If it's miyad, you don't make another bracha. But when you
face, go on a family outing. You left yourself, you go on a family outing, and then you come back later. So according to the Rambam and the Vilna Gaon, you'd make another bracha on the sukkah, even if you're not going to eat in the sukkah. And Rabbi Natan Shita only on what? Only on the, on, if you're going to eat a meal, or some, you know, some hope is over, some hope it has to be a meal, etc. So the Kosher Glover of Aryeh Frommer. I always tell everyone, when you're in the library, get out of the elevator 5A and look at the picture of the Kosher Glover. Stare in his eyes. I hold it's a skula, first skula to get Yirah Shemayim. Look at that picture. Okay? So next time you're in the library, you look, it's good. It'll be good for your neshama. So he says like this. He says that, so the minute is like Rabbi Natan, only an eating. So why is it like that? So he says a beautiful word. He says, because normally, what's the idea? If it's not miyad, then what? Then there's a hefsek already, so then you have to make another bracha. But he says, that when you leave this sukkah, even if you're leaving for a couple of hours, but that's part of dira, means if you're a normal person, you're not a hermit. So dira means that I leave sometimes. That's normal living. I don't stay home the whole time. I leave, I come back. That's a key in my dira, is that I'm going away and I'm going to come back. You understand? So in the mainland, there's no hefsek. There's no hefsek by just leaving. You can leave, you can go to the Shabbos Chol HaMoed, you go someplace else, but then you're coming back. So the leaving is a key in making the dira a dira. So therefore, there's no hefsek here. And so that reminded me of the idea of, you know, with Rabbi Akiva Egan, the pain against Rabbi Akiva Egan. It's the same Yisod. That from the Zuzah, you know, it's the Dira, but it's not like you're no longer, it's no longer your Dira. That same approach.
Doesn't the Baracha, the Lashon of the Baracha itself, kind of hint the fact that you're not before Mezuzah every time?
Oh, no, so you're taking another idea. And that is, you see, the question is like this. Rabbi Akiva Egan says, when you come back, you should make another bracha. So, Daniel is asking, but the Nusach HaBracha from Mezuzah is the Kboa Mezuzah. The Kboa Mezuzah means you what?
Fix it.
So I'm not fixing it. Right? That's the idea of Rav Soloveitchik. Rav Soloveitchik, he held, if you're not making what? If you're not doing a maisa, you can't make a birkas a mitzvah. That's his yisod. So the mele what? So he held that. Even if Rabbi Akiva Egan, if you really wanted to fulfill Rabbi Akiva Egan, you would have to really take it off. And the mele, once you come back, you take it off, and you put it back in, it's not going to work. So that was Rav Soloveitchik's yisod. You only make a birkas a mitzvah, a maisa mitzvah. You're not doing a maisa mitzvah, you don't make a bracha. That was his yisod. It's very mistaber, but not everyone holds from this. There are poskim that hold that even though there's no maisa mitzvah, it's in the Mogen Avraham, so it's not like that. What's the case in the Mogen Avraham? So in the old days, talk about the old days, I mean the real old days, you know, before my time, that people used to get married on Friday. Now, you've never gone to a wedding in your life on Friday, right? In more recent days, people used to, you had chasanas even Motzei Shabbos, but now no one does that either. Because unless you're not an observant person, no one's going to make a chasana on a Motzei Shabbos either, because it'll just cause chil Shabbos. But Fridays in the poskim. People used to get married on Fridays. Why did they get married on Fridays? Because to save money. This way you have a Suda Shabbos. You spend money for the Suda Shabbos. Today we take it for granted. Suda Shabbos, we don't even view that as an expense. That's part of our life. But they're making it. So they wanted that the Suda Shabbos and the Suda Chasana will be one Suda together. And this way you'll save money
and that's what they would do. So they would have the chuppah Friday afternoon. Friday afternoon, they would have the chuppah, and then they would come back to wherever it was, and then they would have the suda. So a lot of times what happened was the women will also want to be at the chuppah, right? So what did they do? They would also come to the chuppah. And you know what would happen sometimes? They'd come back home, right? And it was too late to light Shabbos candles the time they came home. It was already Hashoshes. So then what do you do? So Magen Avraham has a discussion. Maybe you get a goy to light the Shabbos candles. And you'll make a bracha. So that's the whole discussion. You see that those posts can held, that even though today a woman lights the candles, she makes the mice in this one. But the post can held that you can make even, not like Rav Soloveitchik's. Rav Soloveitchik held, of course you can't make a bracha, because you're not, the guy's doing the mice. You're not doing the mice, so you can't make the bracha. But you see from that Magen Avraham that he held that even on the kiyum, even if you're being Mekayim in mitzvah and you're not doing the mice in mitzvah, you can also make a bracha. Yeah.
So according to those poskim, if you move to a house that already has mezuzahs on it?
So right, so that's a whole discussion of the Magen Avraham. As Shefter pointed out, that he discusses that maybe there's a concept of making a bracha lador babayish sheyesh bo mezuzah. As Rav Shefter pointed out, the discussion whether there are concepts of having brachas that are not found in the Shas or anything, new brachas, like Lo Dor B'Bayi Sheyesh Bo Mezuzah. So, again, Mezuzah is Chovas Hadar. Mezuzah is Chovas Hadar. So you have to live there. So therefore, like Rav Abadi pointed out, the real place in the yeshiva, no one's really living here. So even though you're right, you still need Shmira, and I need Shmira even in the street. But the Shmira that the Torah is Mechayev is Shmira of Dira. Mezuzah, Psachim, Tafdalad, Mezuzah, Chovas Hadar. And therefore, we'll see, it has to be a certain dimension. You know, or... Right? Dalaramos al Dalaramos. We'll see, because if it's not Dalaramos al Dalaramos, which is, Rav Moshe held it was like 7 feet by 3 inches, 7 feet by 3 inches. Rav Chaim Noah held it was like 6 feet and 3 inches. Rav Chaim Noah's shiurim were always the smallest shiurim. But it's interesting, Rav Michal Shurkin, Shlita, and his sefer Megid Givos Olam says that when Rav Chaim Noah came out with his shiurim, he's always the smaller kazayas. You know, now in all the modern books, it has Rav Chaim Noah is the smallest, and Rav Moshe is the middle, and then Chazon Ish is the big one. You know, but everything is relative, because when Rav Chaim Noah, Rav Michal Shurkin pointed out that Rav Chaim Noah came out with his shiur and people thought he was a machmir. You know, everything is relative of what the pre-existing assumptions were beforehand. You know, so in our day today, we, you know, once the Chazon Ish came and he was saying this big shiur, you know. So that's what it is, a mokum dira. And we paskin la halacha. Even a storage place needs a mezuzah. So in other words, say you don't eat there, you don't sleep there, but you store things there. A garage. Rav David Feinstein told me once you should have a good garage. It's not a mocha, but that's called dira. That's called dira. Rav Abadi and Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky both said a storage place only requires a mezuzah if it's part of your real dira. But they, you know, every once in a while you go on the highway and you see these big billboards, these big signs for storage. Right? You see them all the time. Right? Anytime you're going on a somewhat ride on the highway, there are always these billboards for storage. So that, Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky and Rav Abadi Shlita, Avdim Chaim, both said the same chiddush, that's only if it's part of where you eat and sleep and drink, then you have a place where you store things, that's called also part of the dira. But if it's just separate, and you don't go there really, it's just for your things, and you're not on a regular basis going, in other words, dira means that you have a place where you keep your wine bottles, and you come in, and you get, and you go out, So then it's also chayiv. It's machlokas rishonim between the Rambam and the Rosh, and we paskin like the Rosh that mokum base otzer also, but it has to be a mokum dira. That's why I once asked Rav Abadi, so when you move into a house, right? So they bring you the furniture there. So do you have to put up a mezuzah right away because it's a base otzer for the furniture? The furniture's there. So Rav Abadi said, no. You only make the mezuzah, have a chiyuv to put up the mezuzah when you're living there. And you don't say, well, the house, I already put my stuff there a week before, but you weren't living there yet. And base otzer is only because it's also what? Part of the dira. So that's why, but it's important to know, and sometimes people are mezalzel in this, that when you buy a house, it's not an idea that, you know, I didn't get around to it yet. You know, I didn't put up the... No, that day that you move in, meaning you're here now, you're eating, you're going to eat dinner here tonight, you're sleeping here tonight, now you're here. You need a mezuzah. We wait a day, you mavata l'mitzvah esei d'oraisa. And it's not... In other words, when you rent in Chutz Laretz, poskim say you get 30-day respite, we'll talk about that. But when you buy a house, it's yours, you have a chovah. And the chovah is right away. There's no thing, oh, we didn't get around to it. Yeah, we're going to get around to it. No getting around to it. Ayo! You know, you got to do it. You're also mavata l'mitzvah esei d'oraisa. Welcome dear. I received a question this year that I don't know if I ever received before. Now, one thing you have to realize also, it has to be, a bokum dira has to be where you go in with your body. In other words, even a storage place. In other words, like a closet. So a closet, if it's not a walk-in closet, there's a lot of closets, you just put your hands in and you get it. It's a shallow closet. You get your shirts up. But some closets, you know, some closets are mommy's room. But, you know, most of our closets are best walk-in. It means I have to walk in with my body. And then I get the things. There's depth to the closet. 1 second. But if it's not a walk-in closet, then there's no chovah. Because the chovah mezuzah is beisecha the gemur darshans derech bi'oscha. You have to have a knisa. You have to have a knisa. And if you don't have a knisa, that you go in with your body, there's no chovah. That's not deep. That makes a lot of sense. It's not dira. Dira, you know, it has to be a makom that you go into. So what was the shayla I got this year, I think the first time? What if you have a walk-in fridge or freezer? So do you require a mezuzah on a walk-in fridge, a walk-in freezer? So on one hand you could say, it's a makom, it's like a base otzer. It's like a place for storage. Whatever you need. Like, usually in our own homes, it's usually you go to camp, like in Morashav, you know, the fridge, yeah, you walk in and you get to have all the milk for the, you know, usually in a single family, it's not going to have such a big fridge. You know, our fridges today, we don't walk into them. You know, we just put our, you know, but in more bigger, you know, you have a community like a camp. Yeah, and so the fridges are a lot of big fridges. So that was the shayla that. So my gut reaction was that there's not, I don't know, a fridge, a freezer. Is that a makom dira? Or even though it's only, you know, most shmiras, it's for my milk. So the milk is okay there. But maybe, so I looked today in Ogur Baalecha, that's the sefer by Rabbi Feldman, his father's Rosh Yeshiva in Israel, Rabbi Aaron Feldman's Rosh Yeshiva in Israel. His son wrote a sefer on the mezuzah. So he has a piece of that. So he thinks Pashtus is, you should. Obviously you have to put the mezuzah in a way that it's not going to freeze and get possum, and, you know, slide or whatever, you know, barring that thing. Then he quotes from the Chovos Hadar, Rabloy, he thought, no, it has to be a Mokum Dira that's Roy, at least, to live there. Even though you're using it now for your, I don't know, I was, before I was giving the shiur today, I was discussing it with Rabbi Moshe Shapiro in the library, we were falfel on this, but it's a good shiur, it's a, you know, whether a walk-in frigidaire, you know, requires a mezuzah or not. Walking, so, okay, let me, you
I just had a question based on, when you mentioned storage units. A lot of apartment buildings will have, like, storage rooms that you can rent that are, like, all located on the ground floor.
Right.
Which area does that fall into?
That could be still close enough. It's still within the same building. You know, in other words, I think Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky and Rabbi were talking about when it's like...
No, the lower than a garage.
Right,
yeah. Exactly. Attached garage, which also...
Right. They were talking about the storage places that are just storage places, you know, off the highway there someplace. What's your name?
Moshe.
Moshe what?
Kurtz. Can we just clarify how we classify garages and if it matters how detached it is from the house?
Okay, I'll get to it. Okay, let me just do a couple of things and I'll get to your point. Now, the biggest soul in life is the Gemara in Sukkah on Daf Gimel, on page 2. Tanahal Baish Ebo Arba Amos Al Arba Amos Potter Min HaMezuzah. So that is the first yisod in life. That you have to have, the room has to be a certain dimensions. If it's too cramped, that's not Mokum Dira. It's not a Mokum Dira. If it's not Dalar Amos on Dalar Amos, it's not a Mokum Dira.
Walking closet.
Oh, so therefore, now, there's a machloikis between the Rambam and the Rosh. What about 8x2? What about 8x2? So the Rambam here on page 4 seems to say if you can, as long as you can inscribe it, it's okay. One second, and the Rush. The Rush says, "Alpha Pishim Chozer, Mustabed will cause the Dibin Acher. She may Orker Yosar Rochbo is okay." The Rush says, "You need what? You need 4x4. It can't be 8x2." And the Rambam, at least the Rush claims, says 8x2 is also good. And that's how, so therefore the poskim say put it around the bracha, but there's a taz in Hilchas Sukkah on page 6, Tov Reish Lamed Hei, where he says, Timhati Arbe Al Ksusei Naim Shri Isi L'Rab Seinu Zeh. He says, there's no one ever said 8x2 is good. There's no such shita. It has to be 4x4. And if it's not 4x4, it's not good. 8x2 is not good, according to everybody. What does the Rambam mean to say that if you could, that as long as you could merabeya, it's okay? He doesn't mean that you need, that 8x2 is good. So what was he called, lafuke? So Rav Abadi writes in Art Yitzchak Chelot Beis, he means like this, that there is a din in Hilchas Negoim, that Tzaras Abatim, that the bias has to have four walls. It can't be circular, because there's no tumas negoim. So the chiddush over here is, even if you have something that's circular, but you could be merabeya, you can inscribe 4x4, that's also good. It's not like, but if you can't even inscribe 4x4, then it's not good. It's not chayiv. 8x2 is not good. So the standard, the way it's brought down in the Shach and in the Beis Yosef, is that there's this machlokes between the Rambam and the Rush. The Rush says 4x4. The Rambam says even 8x2, and it's a sfeika d'dina. You know, and therefore we put it up without a bracha. And the Taz says no such thing. There's no sfeika d'dina. It's pashut that it's not chayiv, unless it's 4x4. Unless it's 4x4. So by walking so then most walking closets are not going to be 4x4. Even Rav Chaim Noah's shita, they're not going to even be. So the Pisley Tshuva here, on page 5, he quotes from the Sefer Chamudei Daniel, Ksav Chof Yud, Ksav Yad. A lot of the writings of the Chamudei Daniel didn't get published in the time of the Pisrei Tshuva. So he says, Chamudei Daniel Ksav Yad. It was still in Ksav Yad. So he says like this, that if you're living in a room and it's not dalad on dalad, then that's not normal. Nish normal. And therefore what? You're not chayv in mezuzah. But say I'm not living in that room. What's going to be in that room? My shoes, my shirts. So then the Rashash in Sukkah Dav Gimel says, it's chazi lemilse. If it does its purpose. And what? And the shoes didn't complain, and the shirts don't complain. And you're okay, everyone's happy, Shalom Ol Yisrael. So therefore, the Dalet al Dalet, it doesn't need to be Dalet al Dalet as long as it's fit for its purpose, and like the Milchas Yitzchak says, you walk into it. Because the shoes are not Mechayiv and Mezuzah. It's the person who's using the room for his needs is going to be Mechayiv and the Mezuzah. So therefore, you have to have walk in. If it's not walk in, nothing to talk about. So based on this Chamudei Daniel, some of the opinion that what? That walk-in closet should have a mezuzah without a bracha. Because even though they're not if a walk-in closet is dalet al dalet, so then that's the machlokas, the Rambam and the Rosh, where the Beis Otzer requires a mezuzah or not, and we pass him halacha does. But if it's not dalet al dalet, again, if it's not walk-in, there's nothing to talk about. It's partner. But if it is walk-in, then and if it's not dalet al dalet, so the Chamudei Daniel says that requires a mezuzah. Because it's the Rashash and Sukkah Bav Gimel says because it's chazi v'milse, it's roi v'tashmisho. It's functional. Whereas if it would be my bedroom would be not dalet al dalet, then there would be. Because then I would be able to live normally there. Now. So that, and others disagree with this Chamudei Daniel, you know, because the Chamudei Daniel says two things. He talks about two things. One thing he discusses is a closet, an adjacent closet in your room, number one. And the second thing he talks about is what? A antechamber. Like, a lot of times when you go into like big homes, you open the door, and what? And there's a little antechamber. And then there's another door, and then after the other door, then the house opens up to big rooms. So he says an antechamber also is the same type of idea. In other words, you're not storing things there, but it's a ma'var, as we say in Hebrew. It's a passageway. And it serves its purpose as a passageway. So therefore, it would what? It would require a mezuzah according to the Chamudei Daniel. Now, Rav Feldman in the Sefer Agur Bo'alecha, he says that became Minhag Yisrael. Because if you don't say that, then a lot of people, you could have big houses and big fancy neighborhoods that wouldn't require
mezuzah on the front door, if you don't say like this chamur didinia. Because a lot of them don't open, some of them open up right away, it's a big room. Some have these like little antechamber, and then there's a door after that, and then you walk into the outdoor is for that little antechamber, which is not al-dal. So it's like, in some sense, it's Rahmanis on the Meshulachim. If they're going to try to know who to go to based on who has a mezuzah on the door, you know, then... So he's Tainas, which he's right. That became Minhag Yisrael, that we follow the Chamud Dineil Lagabe, the antechamber. And when we follow the Chamud Dineil Lagabe in the walk-in closet, it's less of a, you know, even though, you know, in other words, that became more... There was within the Chamud Dineil, that chiddush of the Chamud Dineil is much more makubal than the other one, even though the other one, you know, people are more learned, also try to do the walk-in closets as well. But as I tell people, you know, for the walk-in closets, it's a chumrah. So you could decide to do it or not to do it, you know, depending upon your situation, how much money you have, and that's it. Rav Abadi Shlita, he's a purist. So he holds there's no such thing. The Gemara says in Sukkah Dalet al Dalet, and that's it. There's no second halacha that if it's royal, you know, he basically rejects the Chamud Dineil because he feels that. So in Echanami, in his old house, now he's in a newer house, but in the old house in Lakewood, I used to go visit, those were the days when he was, you know, still living in Eretz Yisrael, he would come back, but that was the old house that he had from before. That old house on the front door, there was no mezuzah, because it was the same idea, that it wasn't dalet al dalet, that antechamber was not dalet al, so it just shouldn't, you know. And he's also a believer, you know, this is a whole discussion also, whether, you know, is it proper to put up a mezuzah when you're really not chayiv in mezuzah, according to any sheet. So he holds that, you know, he holds that there's only a sheet of dalet al dalet, it's the only really thing that's in the Shulchan Aruch and in the Gemara. Chamud Dineil is a chiddush, you know, it's in the Pesach Tshuva, but he thought that, you know, but the Minhag HaOlam is Lamaisa, is people do it, whether they're right for doing it or wrong for doing it, that's what people do, and in other words, like Rabbi Feld, or Okor Balacha writes, that became the Minhag HaOlam, at least that part of the Chamud Dineil, not necessarily the other part of the Chamud Dineil, but it's also based most probably on the same yesod of the Rashash and Sukkot Daf Gimel, that Chazi Lemilse is Mechayev. Okay, I want to say, but you know, you can say.
How far do you need to be able to walk in for it to be called to walk in? Like if you lean in or like 1 foot in or half in?
No, your body is Rosho Verugo probably.
Rosho Verugo.
Yeah, because a lot of times it can't be just your hand, and that's not, you know. Usually walk in the closet, you walk in. Your mama, she walk in, your body.
Okay.
Your body's in.
You would walk in, but there's so much stuff in the closet that you don't walk in so often.
Right.
Or like maybe you'll like crawl in to get something in the back, but otherwise it's not, you're not really walking in.
Yeah, right, but Lamaisa, that's walk in. As long as it's not attached to the ground.
Well,
if something
because you have a lot of stuff
boxes
in it, that doesn't
take
away from the shear.
Right.
Like
an attic in the house?
Yeah, you mean, yeah, so that's the Chayyadim. Mm-hmm. We were learning Kedushin many years ago, where Shefta pointed out the Chayyadim, that Mamazuzah Ma'umad. In other words, you need to have a Tzuras HaPesach, two mezuzahs and a mashkel. But the mezuzahs have to be standing up. If you have a skylight and to get in, some people to get into the attic, they have the skylight and then they take a ladder and they go up. But there's no standing up Tzuras HaPesach. Now, in the world today, people are into this Rabbi Akiva Eiger, which I'm not so into, but I'll tell you what he says. But you have to be aware of what he says, and then I'll tell you my take on it. So Rabbi Akiva Eiger says like this: walk-in closets. This is here. You want to see on page 15 in the Chiddush of Rabbi Akiva Eiger at the bottom. It says walk-in closets. It says you should put a mezuzah, but not going into the walk-in closet. It's not dalal adal. In other words, he also doesn't buy into this thing bellowing like Rav Leishman. That should be the real thing. So he says, you know what you should do? You should put the mezuzah going from the walk-in closet into the big bedroom. Because the big bedroom is chayiv. So we view the walk-in closet that's like outdoors. That's like outdoors. So now I'm entering the room. When I go back, I went into the walk-in closet. Now I'm going back into the bedroom. So then, and the bedroom is dalet al dalet. So then you should have a mezuzah on the right side, not going into the closet, but going into the adjacent room, which is dalet al dalet. So that's the famous Rabbi Akiva Eiger. And a lot of people are into this. Rav Chazon Ish was into this Rabbi Akiva Eiger. And Rav Yashiv was into this Rabbi Akiva Eiger. But I'm not into this Rabbi Akiva Eiger. I'll tell you why. And then I found the Sefer Chesed Lavram. It's a Sefer you probably never heard of. Chesed Lavram. They have it in the library, an old copy. It's so funny, there was a man here who stayed in the Fort Troy nursing home. He was a very big Talmud Chacham. His name was Rav Moshe Teichner. And I used to visit him, and he was one of the biggest Bekiyim that I've met, you know, his farm and things like that. And I said to him, Chesed Avraham, he said, yeah, of course, the grandson of the Nasid, you knew right away. He was Rav Gedalia Felder's brother-in-law. From Toronto, Rav Gedalia Felder from Toronto. He was his brother, Rav Felder from Philadelphia, that was his uncle. So we got a relationship for several years until, unfortunately, he was Nifter. So right away, Chesed Avraham, yeah, he's a grandchild of the Nasivas. You know, right away, it's probably the same you never heard of, but he says this word, which I'm very into. I will tell you the word in a second. And he says, no. You can't put a mezuzah on the walk-in closet going into the bedroom. Why? And he says a yisod, which I'm very into this yisod, and that is the following. That in Hilchas Mezuzah, what's the halacha? Derech biyasa, the knisa. That's here. I come into this room. So this is the knisa. So there's a mezuzah on the right side going in. Even though I'm a lefty. I tell you, I'm a lefty. But the lefties in this Hilchas Mezuzah have to be subordinate to the rights. Because the idea, why is it on the right side? Because you'd walk with your right foot first. But the lefties don't necessarily do that. So, but here, everyone, it's not like tefillin, where, you know, different people are doing different things. And as it is, it's a whole complicated thing of what's called a lefty. If you write in one hand, you do other things, you know. Baruch Hashem, I'm a purest lefty. Everything I do is with the left hand. So I'm not one of these confused lefties that they eat with one hand and they use a hammer for another hand and a whole thing. So let me ask you a question. Like, walk in here, there we are. Now let me ask you a question. Now I come here, I'm going to walk now into the hallway. So there should be another mezuzah here. Now, you should know, one time they sent me, it was before the last Chag HaSmicha. They sent me, because I have my Talmud of Gershon Albert, it's a Rav there in Oakland. So they try to send Rebbeim where their Talmidim have shtelas, in honor of the Chag HaSmicha. So I spoke about mezuzah there, and I said, you know, if you would put a mezuzah on both sides, so technically there shouldn't be anything wrong, but it's just like weird, and you shouldn't do weird things. And at the end of Shabbos, a woman came to me and said, Rabbi, all the things you said this Shabbos, that was the best thing you said. You shouldn't do weird things. So that would be weird. Pasha says it wouldn't be Bal Tosif, because Maman of Shach, if one is, but it would be weird. Help us weird. You know, like they say, Rav Salvation said, it's a big mitzvah to be normal. You know, that's, you know, you know, it shouldn't,
So, but what? So why not? So what's? But what's the? Okay. So don't be weird. But why is it? Because what's the vort? The vort is that what? That when I come in the first time, that's called the Knesa. When I leave, that's not called the Knesa to the hallway. That's called the Yitzia from the room. In other words, the first Mahalach, that's my Knesa. When I go back, that's backtracking. Backtracking is Yitzia. It's not a Knesa, and there's no Mechayim in that. So therefore, that the Chesed Avram says this. And that's why he doesn't like this idea. Some claim that Rabbi Kiva never mentioned, never said it. Rabbi Moshe Feinstein had a different Rabbi Kiva. So therefore, I say the whole Hilchas Mezuzah is geboit. It's a good Yiddish word, you know. It's geboit. It's based on what? That there's a Knesa, and that's it. You don't put a and the second coming when you go back. Backtracking, that's the Yitzia. So when I go into the bedroom, into the walk-in closet, that's my Knesa. Now you want to tell me it's too small? Okay, I accept. Maybe I shouldn't put a mezuzah at all. Or maybe I'll put in, you know, like the Kabbalah de Daniel. But if you're going to tell me now I should put a mezuzah, you know, going now from the bedroom back, from the closet back into the bedroom, that's not a Knesa that's the Yitzia from the closet. Whatever the first Mahalach is, that's the Knesa. Whatever you're backtracking, that's the Yitzia. So to me, that is like a big Yisod. So therefore, I never tell anyone. So even though some people are very into this, Rabbi Kiva Eiger, and the Chazon Ish was into it also, and there's a whole, there are people who are, you know, who are against me, but I'm very big believer in this. That's part of my Yisoidus Emuna, is that you don't do that. In other words, I tell people, the whole thing's a chumrah. So if you don't want to put it in b'chlal, on a 4x4 walk-in closet, you don't want to put it in b'chlal?
Less than
4x4, I'm sorry? Then there's what to say for that. If you want to put it as a chumrah, do it this way. That's
this applies in a porch.
Yeah, so a porch also. If you have a porch, this, you know, it applies to, especially if you have the porches that, like my in-laws live in the Lower East Side. So every apartment has those, you can walk out into the terrace, you know, it's suspended. It's a very tall building, so right, you know, right off the FDR Drive. And Rabbi Shachter pointed out that Rabbi Moshe Feinstein was you know, in my school, I'm in his school rather, of that you do it their chachiluch, and therefore when you do it in the porches, even though the porch is you know, it's a question whether it's allowed out, but if you want to do it, or you could hold on a chumbudeil, you put it on the right side where? Going onto the porch. Whereas the Chazon Ish was from the other school. And he was a Rabbi Kivege person. And he was like this, and he held and even Rav Bari is into that also, to go into the house, that the porch is only chayiv because it's not a full dira, but it's part of a real dira, so it's nitpal to the lot, to the real dira in the house, so therefore it's chayiv, it's on the house, so it should be on the right side going into the house. But I'm not, so Rav Bari holds it that way, and Rav Kivega, there's a lot of Gedolim who hold this way, but I still believe from the Chesed Avraham, which you probably never heard of, but I believe that's who I give my allegiance to for this halacha, to the Chesed Avraham, and I always are into putting the way of the hiluch and not doing it the other way.
So for fire escapes that go off of a window,
no, so this is the vort.
But, I mean, they're not
4x4. Well, are they even... But they have a machitzas around them?
Yeah. They're usually a rail and then a staircase.
But you have to have mukav machitzas.
Yeah, presumably.
Presumably, yeah. So...
There's no door
there. Is there a tzur pesa?
It's a window.
It's a window, so... A window is not chayv in mezuzah. Because you need a Shtei mezuzos and mashkuf. It has to be 10 tefachim high. So you have to meet those requirements.
Another random question. What about an RV?
Who?
Recreational vehicle, like a coach bus that has a house inside. Like a trailer.
Yeah, so we'll talk about that. That's a separate thing about things that move, movable things. As a might not need. Okay, so this is so therefore, like in your house, you have hallways, are usually not fully dalad al dalad. Even in my apartment here in the Heights, we walk into a room and then there's a little area. And then you go to the, so we still put up the mezuzah there, in deference to the first part of the chamudei, or whichever first or second, whatever that part of the chamudei deal. Right. So then this whole discussion about the fridge is about those big fridges are walk-in, those walk-in fridges. So then, whether it's dalad or not, so that would be this discussion. And then we have a new consideration, and then maybe that's mufka from being considered a makam dira, if it's a fridge or a freezer, because no one would... whether we say no, like that we Moshe Shapiro thought. But I see you still come in and use it. Okay, you won't sleep there, you won't, Okay. What about a Beis Medrash or Beis Knesses? Is that a Makom Dira or not? So it says in the Shulchan Aruch on page 15, they say Knesses im yesh bo dira l'shum odom chayev mezuzah. So in Shas, in the old days they had a different perception of what Shabbos guests were. Shabbos guests were, he stays in the shul, and after davening, you don't bring him home with you. You keep him there, and he somehow has food there, and he stays there. Today, the Shabbos guest means, he's staying by you, and he's coming to the shul to daven, and you'll bring him home. You'll feed him, you'll give him a place to sleep. But that's what the Gemara says, that they had, why did they make Kiddush in shul? Is for the people that were eating and sleeping in the shuls. And the Kolbo, quoted in the Beis Yosef in Hilchas Chanukah, says that that was the reason why they had Hadlachas Neiros in the shul, for Chanukah, because of the people who were the guests, for the Orchim. That was the Kolbo's reason. It's not like today. Today, you go away, so you have your valise and you have your Hanukkah menorah, and you can't. They didn't have ready made. Like today, you where you go, you can have. You take those are the days they didn't have that. All those things. So when you went away for Shabbos, then you didn't have candles. You didn't have a menorah. You didn't have so many things with you. You didn't have so much things to carry with. So you were, so you went away for Shabbos, and they put you up in the local shul. So then you were in an oreich there. So then you didn't have menorah. So that's why they lit in shul for those people. The Rivash gives a different reason. The Rivash says that I could say some Hanukkah things this week. This week is Rosh Chodesh. The Rivash says that they used to light Hanukkah menorahs outside. That was the place to light Hanukkah menorahs. The Gemara says if you light indoors, you're not yotze, because people are thinking you're just doing it for yourself. You had to light outdoors. And then the Gemara says b'shas hasakana, they started lighting indoors. In fact. The Sefer Dvar Yeshua, have you heard of the Sefer Dvar Yeshua? The Kedai Sefer to know. He was one of the Gedolei Hador. It's unfortunate that some Gedolim everyone heard of, and some unfortunately. Dvar Yeshua is a Sefer that you should know of. He was the Rav in Tel Aviv, the Dai in Ehrenberg. He was from the Gedolei Olam. In fact, I always like to say over where the Satmar Rebbe wrote his Sefer Vayol Moshe, attacking Zionism, and he wrote his whole thing. He says, "I'm not afraid of anybody. You know, I know people are going to be angry, going to critique. I'm not afraid of anybody except for the Dvar Yeshua. He's the only person that I'm afraid to argue with. You know, except for the Dvar Yeshua." So that was just so you understand the stature of who the Dvar Yeshua was. So the Dvar Yeshua from Dayan Ehrenberg. So he said that Bismana said you have to light indoors. You can't light outdoors. You're not Yotze. And Rav Yashiv took issue with him. He was the Bar Plukta with Rav Yashiv. In other words, he was that Madrega. You know what I'm saying? Rav Yashiv's not going to write a tshuva. You know, he was that guy. So how did we get on to this? What was I saying? So the Kolbo says that the reason why we light in shul is since we're lighting indoors b'zman hazeh, so we were lacking in persumei nisa. So to make up for the persumei nisa that we're lacking, we light in shul. That's a different shot than the Kolbo. The Kolbo says it's for the orchim, and the Rivash says it's because they're lacking in the persumei nisa. So b'zman chazal, sometimes people lived in the shul, you see. So Beis Knesses, if people are living there, well, sometimes, I grew up in a shul for the Shamus. Today, you guys never saw a Shamus in your life. You know, in those days, what did a shul have? The shul had the rav of the shul, and some old shuls had a chazan, they had the secretary. And then they had a Shamus. A Shamus was usually a European Jew, who sometimes was even a bigger Talmud Chacham than the Rav, but he didn't speak English, so he couldn't he couldn't be the rabbi of the shul, because he couldn't speak English, so he couldn't give drushes and things like that. So he would buy the lulavim for everybody, and the yortzeit cards, and he sometimes would be the balkore, and he would learn Ein Yaakov over the balabatim during the weekdays. That was the Shabbos. You know, they say that when Moshe Feinstein came to America, the only thing he expected that he was going to do in America was be a Shabbos and a shul. So HaKashkocha had it that it didn't work out that way. He was much more than just the Shamus and the Shul. But that's, and then they say Rav Yonatan Steif, who was also one of the big Gedolim, from Budapest, right? Rav Yonatan Steif, also. But there the Balabatim made him a shul so he wouldn't have to be a Shamus. They built a shul, the Ades Yireim shul in Williamsburg, Rav Yonatan Steif. So there, but in those days, a Shamus would so often live in the shul. He would manage to live in the shul. And then that would mechayev the shul with a mezuzah, at least in the room that the shamus was living in. But today no one lives in the shul. But that's the idea that I said to you before, that all Jewish mosdos that have people, coming in and going out, the minhag is to put up a mezuzah. You know, I think Rav Yashiv in one place writes, I say from him, it's like a semi-type of dira of sorts. But the full dira, like Rav Abai says, the full dira that is, the Mokum Pita, Mokum Lina, that's... So Beis Knesses really today doesn't need any mezuzah, but again, that's part of the minhag that people have, that all Jewish institutions, Hassan halls and the dentist office, all the places that are Jewish places, they put mezuzahs up, or else I think it's good for business, or else people think that you're, unless you're a purist, right? Everybody's a purist. So so he doesn't put up on the front door if it's adal al adal. And then one of his talmidim has the yeshiva in Lakewood, where there's no mezuzahs on in the yeshiva at all, with the sheet is only a dormitory. But again, the way people normally do is they, as all Jewish and so on. What about a base medrash? A base medrash is different. Now, what is a base medrash? So the Shulchan Aruch says Beis Medrash is also part of mezuzah. But then Yesh Omrim that it's chayiv mezuzah. The Nochel Lochus from the Devarim. So the Shach says a Beis Medrash means a place where, like a Beis Medrash in a yeshiva. Kevin Shah Talmidim Yochrim Min HaBoker Vada Erev Domel Adira. So it's not a full Dira, but it's Domel Adira. Because, you know, in shuls, in the big shuls, so they still have, you know, unfortunately the amount of people that came to shul on Shabbos and during the week was not the same. So basically they had the main sanctuary, and they would call that the shul, the Beis Knesses. And then the place where they would daven during the weekdays, they would call that the Beis Medrash. Even though that has no halachic, why is that called the Beis Medrash? That's the smaller place. So you call that the Beis Medrash. I guess they had some shiurim there during the week. They could call it the Beis Medrash, but that's not, has no halachic significance. A Beis Medrash, so a Beis Medrash in yeshiva, people are there the whole day, even though no one's living there, it's Dom Beladira, so that's why at least there's one day in Shulchan Aruch that you put a mezuzah. Even though the Iker Halach is not like that. It's a Stam V'yesh Omrim that it's Potem mezuzah. He gives a little bit of chizuk. He says, Nochem Lochosh L'Divrayim. But usually with Stam V'yesh Omrim, so we know, we pass it like the Stam, not like the V'yesh Omrim. But then Mechaber doesn't give like a Yeshikoyach to the V'yesh Omrim. He doesn't you're the V'yesh Omrim. So, but here he gives you a little chizuk to the Yesh Omrim. Nochem Lochosh L'Divrayim. That's why when they opened up block, the Beis Medrash, they didn't want to make a bracha on the, so they made a Tova Meitiv on having a new place where many people could benefit, etc. But, so it's a Mokum Dira, and but we said before, is that, but if you rent bayis in Chutz La'aretz, so you're potter from mezuzah for 30 days. And many poskim hold that it's only, and then after that, after 30 days, then you have to put it up.
30 days of living there?
30 days of living there.
But this wouldn't apply to house.
So it would apply to a house also if you're renting a house, a rental. But the point I wanted to say before is that some people have this thing, when we get a chance, we'll do it, you know. But no, if it's dalet al dalet, the Rambam sheet is, we'll see that it also has to have a door. If it doesn't have a door, the Rambam sheet is, you don't put a mezuzah on. So we don't follow this Rambam. We put it up even if there's no door, but in deference to the Rambam, the Shach says we don't make a bracha unless there's a door. Yes?
Is there also a shita that says the clock restarts whenever, for even a limited amount of time, you're not living in the apartment anymore?
You mean you were there?
You live there for 6 days, you go away for Shabbos, and
they may discuss that, but my inkling is that once you started and you're coming back, that those days that are missing is also you started the series. So you were there for the first 6 days, and you missed 3 days, and you came back. Pashas is, and that's part of the 30 days. Even the days that you missed are still part of those 30 days.
Even count for 30.
Yeah. Because like Rav Shechter pointed out, Pashas is the Din in Marisayin. So if it's a Din in Marisayin, the people after 30 days are going to think that, you know, this is your house and you didn't put anything there. So before 30 days, it doesn't look like it's yours. Maybe you're just a guest or something like that. So for Stubborn, once you started living there, even though you missed it, everyone, like in your own homes, people, like we said, the Rebbe Kivega, people go away for the afternoon, they go away for a day, they go away, you know, but that's the... Yeah. So that's the so that you have a leniency. That you have a leniency. Even though Rav Shach likes to quote on page 21, Rav Shach, that
Today we have leases and things like that, so it might not, you might not have the kula anymore of 30 days. But the minig is the people are mako. At least for them, it can be mako. But if it's when you buy a house and you bought it ready, and a lot of people just don't know that they're very. I've seen people just lackadaisical about this. You know, we got the main business up, and sometimes they're on rooms that are mamish chayiv miikar hadin, like a bedroom. It's a bedroom, it has a door, it has everything. And just in their minds, people have, you know, in their minds what they consider the hierarchy of what's the ikar, you know, like in their minds, the front door is the ikar chiv. So as we said before, that's not so simple that's the ikar chiv. The Ramah quotes a minig, that there were people that used to just put on the front door. So if you look, the Ramah gets it from Truvis Maril. So the Maril says it's not that stam they were amaratzim. It's in those days, you know, the whole apartment could just be the front door, and then they would section it off with partitions. But like we live in America, and you know, in the wealthy Medina, that we have houses with 10 rooms and 5 rooms, and you know, but in those days the whole place where you lived was one, you know, was one room, and then you sectioned off for different needs and different. Different things.
If you're renting, can you put up earlier than 30 days? Or you just have to?
Oh, excellent question. So some people are of the opinion that you have to wait. So you wait, and you can't put it up. And Reb Chaim Kanievsky, he has a piece which I like his piece, that he holds that, no, once you have the construct, it's dalet al dalet, it has a roof, it has everything, then you really could put it up. It's not considered tasav lo ben osur to do it that way. So he holds you could do it. So a lot of times it might be better to do it that way because, you know, like one day you'll all of a sudden it'll hit you. You're in the middle of eating out in a restaurant and you just think for a second, you know, today's the 31st day. There's only 10 minutes left in Shkia, and I blew it, you know. So sometimes I think it's just better, you know, to have it up already, even though not all poskim agree with that, but I have Reb Chaim Kanievsky to rely on. He wrote a sefer, Reb Chaim Kanievsky, he writes on Mesechtas Ketanos. So he writes in Mesechta Mezuzah, and Mesechtas Avodim, and Mesechtas Kusim, and all these little interesting mesachtas, he wrote a page. So he wrote in Mesachta Mezuzah. So in his sefer in Mesachta Mezuzah, he permits to put it up. Yeah.
Let's look at some more specific question on that. If you're renting from someone who's not Jewish, you live in a building who's not Jewish, and you're renting a place, but you're subletting it to someone else who is Jewish, and you're not moving in until after that person's already been there for 30 days, is that on you or on them to get the mezuzah then?
So say again.
The place is in your name. You're subletting it to someone else who's also frum, and he's going to be living there for 30 days before you even move in. But it's owned in general just by some non-Jewish landlord.
So non-Jewish landlord owns it, and you rented it.
And you're renting it, and you're not moving in. Well, your subletter has already been there for 30 days.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Okay, I want to think about that.
Shouldn't it just be the Chovas
on the Dar? On the Dar. You're not the Dar
until 30 days, even if it's in your name.
Right.
I buy
mezuzahs
that don't live there, rent it out to someone.
Right.
I buy
a
house.
Yeah, Chovas Adar. Yeah, that's what I said. Yeah, okay. Good. Do you use the Davnecha here, or?
If we can get that, we'll get that stuff.
Yeah, okay. So maybe we have 3 minutes. Sorry? Good. Okay, it's always a pleasure to be here and share the return. So, what is it, next Wednesday? Next Tuesday. Next Tuesday. Okay. So we'll continue.
Everybody signed this time.